Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express.
Jaguars Thursday.
Voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Now.
All right, here we go. Good evening and welcome into Jaguars Thursday, live from the Hanania Auto Studios. I should say HananiahAutos.com studio. Sorry for that mistake, Joe. Brian Sexton along with Jeff Loggeman. We're here for the next hour with you. Hey, by the way, this programming at Pete Prisco from CBSSports.com will join us at the quarter hour post, and we will talk with him about his mock draft today, his experience at the Combine last week in Indianapolis, pending free agency, lots to talk about. Until then, though, the phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. Jeff, how are you tonight?
Good. Good. A little, I guess you could say, over inundated with Combine numbers, you know, from checking out exactly what everybody did, reading all the information coming out of Indianapolis. A lot to digest. But, you know, it all comes back down to, even though the players have numbers to compare with like players, same positions, et cetera, it's still going to go back to game film, as it should.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351, which is exactly what you did today. Spent some time with the film.
Yeah, it was kind of, you know, and the reason I did it was, you know, after listening to all the information coming out of Indianapolis, and then the quarterback from Philadelphia,
Ron Jaworski,
ended up coming out with some pretty strong comments on Johnny Manziel. And with the Jaguars drafting three, I said, all right, between now and when the draft happens in May, I'm going to every week kind of pick, you know, four or five guys and just really watch a lot of them. And so today I came in and started that process and focused in on a lot on the quarterbacks today. And then, of course, everybody's got their mock draft out and their rankings of top players on the board and such. You know, it's fun to actually watch the film and then see what the mocks actually say based on what your eye has shown you. And I've got some pretty strong opinions out of the quarterbacks so far. Now, when I watch the quarterbacks, I tried to pick game film to where you could watch a defensive player that might be of note. Michael Sam, Javion Clowney, whoever that might be. And also, obviously, when you're watching Johnny Manziel, you get to watch the wide receiver that he's got. Where's number 13? Mike Evans, who's a great player. You know, so
and
you
ran fast.
You try to pick games like that so you can watch more than one.
Obviously, and Jake Matthews
with Texas A&M. So it was good, and so me and Pete ought to have a little bit of healthy debate because you kind of filled me in on what his mock draft or his big board says, and there's no way in the world that I agree with what some of the information that he's got in it.
Well, you know, what's really interesting, and I was coming into the show tonight thinking that the quarterbacks are all falling in terms of the general consensus of where they belong. Now, I mean, it's true that people will overdraft the position. But when you start, if you go back to the start of college football season last year, most everyone had Teddy Bridgewater as the number one overall prospect, right?
Well, a quarterback.
Well, no. I mean, if you go back and look at Mel Kiper at the time, he had him as the number one overall prospect.
Well, I don't know,
he had him,
man,
ahead of Jadeveon Clowney at the time.
Jadeveon Clowney, you know, was right up there.
Well, and now Clowney fell a little bit on, again, these are just
on a three-sack year.
These are subjective, right? I mean, these are people's opinions. But he's back up there now after the combine because everyone saw.
He ran a 4.5?
He ran a 4.48 on a hand time.
Yeah, hand time.
He ran an official 4.53.
Yep.
So, but you're talking about a guy that, and we talked about this, everyone knew when you saw 6'5", 83-inch wingspan, 265 pounds, running 4.5 40, he will be back at the very top of the draft. There's no doubt about it. But the quarterbacks are, you know, they're sliding down, and now you're seeing Teddy Bridgewater show up, even though they're subjective logs. Mel Kiper's done this a long time, right? He's got him 10th. Bridgewater shows up 8th on Mayock. You know, what they're saying is these guys are not the best players in the draft, and they don't belong at the top, but they may still go there.
Well, it's a position of importance, you know. So, I mean, I get that. I get that, you know. So, but to me, watching the film, and I'll give this little tidbit, of watching the quarterbacks and Jake Matthews and a couple wide receivers thrown in the mix, hands down, the best out of what I watched today, Jadeveon Clowney.
Now, you've watched pass rushers your entire adult life.
And I like to think that I'm a little qualified to watch that position.
Yeah, I would think so. Exactly.
You know, so
what is it about him that caught your eye the most?
Great, great acceleration off the ball. He's got closing speed. He's got power. He does things physically that you just can't teach. You know, and that's what I always look for. To me, the true measure of talent is what can a guy do that's not so much technique-based? Because I believe that guys can always get better with technique. And I'm not saying that, hey, everybody can be coached up. I'm just saying is that they can always improve on certain fundamentals of playing different positions. But some things you just can't teach. You know, with an offensive lineman, left tackle, you can't teach feet. He's either got it or he doesn't. A wide receiver, blazing speed and the ability to just capture a ball in the air when it's a competitive moment. I mean, that you can't teach. I mean, some guys just have that knack. With Clowney, pure power, speed, and instincts rushing the passer, he's got it, and he's got it in a big way.
You know, everyone points to that play in the bowl game against Michigan where it appears that he went unblocked. I mean, it didn't look like anybody had him. In fact, Taylor Lewan said that there was a blocking mistake, Lewan being the left tackle at Michigan. But the video I...
Lewan came out and said that, by the way, just because he didn't want to get blamed for blocking
missing him. Right.
Yeah.
But the video you should see of this guy is on YouTube with the blocking sled from summer drills at South Carolina last year, where he gets down low underneath it and turns the thing over. It shows the power and it shows the length, 83-inch wingspan. So you're talking about a guy that's really hard to block. Vaselli talks all the time about Michael McCrary and how difficult he was to block because of the way that his body was constructed.
But he was a guy, McCrary was a guy, that I don't think he ever wowed you with some of the physical things that he did. His motor and his tenacity was second to none. That's what made Michael special. What makes a guy like Mario Williams and Jadeveon Clowney special is that they have physical attributes that other people just don't have. You know, and that's what makes him special. I mean, Clowney's a strong guy. He's fast. He's athletic. He does things much like Ezekiel Ansah last year. Who we talked about last year, and we were talking about, you know, who do you think the Jaguars should take? And me and Tony both said Ansah. Just because watching the film on Ansah at that period of time, he did things that you just couldn't teach.
Right.
Physically, athletically, and had a pretty good year in Detroit. You know, and the guy's raw. You know, and so Clowney's the same type of guy. He's got tools that you just can't coach and you just can't teach. You could take the guy from Auburn, D. Ford, and work with him for 6 years, and he probably is not going to be able to do that. Some of the things that Clowney can do right now athletically, just because God didn't give D. Ford the tools that Jadeveon Clowney has. The way it is.
You know, look, understanding that the quarterback evaluation process is early. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater, Johnny Manziel, Blake Bortles, they're all going to have pro days. I mean, there's a lot more to come in this whole process. But if Jadeveon Clowney is sitting on the board at number three Jaguars are picking, you have to take
him.
Don't you?
Take him.
I mean, you just don't get a guy that's that talented that often. The knock on him is he doesn't play hard every play. Well, okay, Derek Thomas didn't either, but he's a Hall of Famer.
I don't see... And I think you have a special situation here in Jacksonville.
I don't think he'll be there at three. I think he's gone.
No, I don't think he will be either. But you have a special situation here in Jacksonville. And I truly believe that you have a very special head coach in Gus Bradley that can get and motivate players at a level that not all people can do. So if there was ever a coach that I think could take a Clowney and get every ounce possible – out of a Clowney, I think it would be Gus Bradley. So I don't fear for that situation and fear for what a lot of people talk about with Clowney and Spurrier's comments and all that, because I have confidence in Gus. But if he's there, I mean, to me, you got to take him.
You have to.
You got to take him. You know, now there's some other guys that might be in that debate, but I don't think that there's anybody that I've seen in any kind of highlight tape yet that would even come close to comparing to those physical attributes that Clowney has.
Supreme athlete, premier player, premier position. You have to. You just have to.
No doubt.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Pete Prisco from CBSSports.com will join us. He's back from the Combine. He's got a new mock draft out. You all know Pete. We'll have him here on the phones from the HannityAutos.com studio after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, rolling right along. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggum, and Joe Fortunato. John Dineen in the studio here this evening. Joining us on the phone lines, our very old friend. Not that he's old, but we've known him a very long time. Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com. I got that right finally, right, Pete?
You got it right after 20 weeks or whatever.
Yeah, it's taking a long time. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm
good. Back from the combine.
Yeah, I know. That's why we figured we'd call you tonight, because we saw your mock draft. You really think Blake Bortles goes number one overall?
Well, that's one of my first 20 mock drafts that I'll be doing. So.
Well, I had to ask you.
Way to sound real a man of conviction there, Pete.
He always
prefaces it. Well, you know what? I actually do think there's a chance he goes first.
No way.
I really do. And,
no way.
Why?
Not going to happen.
Well, who goes first?
Well, I don't know who's going to go first, but I can tell you who should go first, and that's Clowney.
Yeah, but yes, I would probably pick Clowney. He's number one on my board, yeah, for sure. But I just think that Bill O'Brien came from the New England school of thought, had Tom Brady, went to Penn State, had Hackenberg, who is a heck of a quarterback, might be the first pick taken when he comes out, and they're both big, strong, physical quarterbacks. So I think it's going to be a quarterback, and I think he'll go with the big guy.
Well, I watched Blake Bortles, Johnny Manziel, and then also Teddy Bridgewater today. I didn't watch eight games on each guy, but a couple games of each guy. And to me, Teddy Bridgewater, head and shoulders above the other guys. And Blake Bortles, I mean, he's got all the measurables. He's a big quarterback. His accuracy is not even comparable to Teddy Bridgewater. Bridgewater, great pocket presence. The big concern that I have about a Blake Bortles is that it looks like almost like a spread offense, to where everything is predetermined where he's throwing the ball. And I think it's going to be a big adjustment for him once he steps up into the NFL, and he's got to read a defense.
Yeah, but which games did you watch? South Carolina? Because you looked like crap in that game.
I watched South Carolina. That was one of them, and that's the game that he didn't look all that great.
No, he did. And I talked to him about that game, and he said, look, I didn't play very well. But against Penn State, on the road, he looked very good. And Jeff, here's what a GM told me the other day. He said, look, UCF has their basically chance to go to a BCS game on the line, because the conference is being disbanded. They're not going to get to a BCS game again. And so they go to Louisville. They're down late in the game. They need to go get a touchdown to take the lead. And he took the ball, and he drove him to go get the touchdown. Now, if you watch that game, there aren't a lot of great throws, but he did it, and he made the throws when he had to, and he made the plays. To me, that's very telling about a quarterback. I'm not in love with any of those guys, I'll be honest with you. And I haven't studied them all in great detail. I'm going to do it in the next couple weeks. But from the TV tapes and everything else and some of the stuff I've watched, none of them make me go, wow. Not a one of them.
Teddy Bridgewater makes me go, wow. I mean, really. The guy's...
I don't know, Jeff.
He's accurate. He is excellent pocket presence. His eyes always stay down the field. And he's got a little bit of a flair to where he can really anticipate some of the throws. To me, it's not even close. He's the best amongst the three.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't take Manziel out of any of them, I'll be honest with you. I think he leaves too many reads on the field and in the NFL.
He doesn't read.
That's what I'm saying. He leaves him on the field. Yeah, I wouldn't take him. I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. I got to do more research on both Bridgewater and Bortles. But I'm not enamored with any of them, and I don't think Jacksonville will take one at three. I really don't.
Well,
I think they're going to
go ahead and tell everybody who you got.
Who, me?
Yeah, tell everybody who you have the Jaguars taking at number three.
Who did I have taken? That was my third. I haven't taken
Khalil Mack from Buffalo.
Mack, yeah. And I just think this is a league of pass rushers and quarterback, and if you're going to sit there at three and Clowney's gone and, you know, you're not enamored with any of the quarterbacks, you take another pass rusher. And that kid, I don't know, Jeff, have you watched him on tape?
No, that's the guy that's next on my list this week. I just kind of started looking at all the film and really focused it on the quarterbacks, Pete. But one of the things that I did was pick games where you could watch, you know, a defensive player that of note, you know, that quarterback may be going up against. You know, so obviously you see Blake Bortles and you see him against South Carolina, then you can watch Clowney as well.
What do you think of your defensive end? What do you think of Clowney?
You know, that was a game that game was early in the year, and a lot of people were saying that Clowney at that point was just not doing anything. I had no problem with his effort in that game. He had three plays to where he could have easily had sacks. It could have been a three-sack game for him in that game alone, you know, if he just makes the plays. I think, Pete, that the guy's got physical tools that you just can't coach. You know, athleticism, much like Anza last year when you watched him on film, he did things that you just can't coach. And Clowney's the same way.
Don't you get worried a little bit about the fact that, you know, everybody always says they doubled him and they slid protection his way and they ran away from him and everything and they're quick throws and everything. But, I mean, if you have that skill set and you're that good, don't you fall into seven sacks, Loggy? I mean, don't you have to at least get to seven? I mean, three, that number is glaring to me.
Well, and, you know, and I point to that game against UCF because if he makes those three plays, that's three sacks right there. You know, so I've got to watch more games of them to see. But I know that game really stood out to me as, wow, this guy has talent, but yet he did not get any sacks. You know, so, look, a lot of times sacks are overrated. And, you know, that was an easy thing for us to say as defensive ends and pass rushers that they're overrated. I mean, at the end of the day, yeah, you can fall into seven sacks, but you can also have 10 sacks and four of those 10 sacks might be just junk sacks that somebody else created for you. So, I mean, it works both ways.
Right, and playing with the lead, helps you a great deal when to get sacks, the whole deal. I get it, and I know disruption is, you know, production too, as they say. But, for me, I just want to see the guy on the ground. I want, you know, reach out and throw a guy on the ground, you know, four more times, and then you have seven. You know, it's just a different. Three is a glaring number. And I love it. Believe me, I love the kid. I pick him first. I just worry about where was the production.
Well, the thing that I would worry about is, you know, speeding tickets, you know, a college coach that's not exactly giving him rave reviews. I mean, Steve Spurrier has not had a lot of great things to say about Clowney, with the exception of what kind of an athlete and what kind of performances that he can give him. But, you know, going to Johnny Manziel for a minute, Pete, if I'm drafting for a Sandlot football team, Johnny Manziel may be my first overall. But for the NFL, to where he has to play in a system, he has to make the reads, and he has to make the throws, I don't think he'd be in my first two rounds.
You know, I'm kind of with you. And, you know, I'm intrigued by him. There's a lot to like. He's fun to watch. But, again, Jeff, when you look at him, with the plays that he gets positive reviews for, the ones that the fans and the media and everybody give them the big positive reviews for, are essentially negative plays because he's missing open reads.
No
and
doubt.
He's not staying on the spot. And he's doing that spinning around. One GM told me at the combine, he said, he does that spinning around stuff in the pocket in the NFL and somebody's going to decapitate him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just can't do that in the NFL. So, yeah. There are positive plays that fans go crazy for, and when we grade them and look at them, they're negative plays.
Yeah, the three games that I watched that he did, and I didn't get through a complete three games, but I watched LSU, I watched Duke, and I think it was Auburn of three games with Manziel. And not one of those three games did he ever make me go, wow, as a passer. And, hey, look, there's a lot of quarterbacks that came into the league that made you go, wow. But sooner or later, they all have got to stay in the pocket and make a throw. And I just don't know if Johnny Manziel can do that, because when he did stay in the pocket, his footwork was poor. His accuracy was not great. The plays that he made you go wow on were the ones that you sat back and watched it on television and you couldn't see the all 22. And like you're talking about, Pete, he had two guys wide open in a route tree, and he didn't see them because he's too busy doing some crazy stuff. And then he ends up creating, buying time by running around and then throwing the ball down the field for 35 yards.
You know, to a 6'3", you know, wide receiver who
great receiver.
Middle of the first round, bare minimum. So, yeah, and he had, and not only that, I mean, he has a left tackle who's going to be a first rounder. He's got a right tackle who'll be a first rounder next year. I mean, he's got, the little runner's a good player. He's got skilled people around him. And when you look at it, I don't know, there's just something. I don't like my quarterbacks running around. I never have. I never will. I know Russell Wilson won a Super Bowl because he moves outside the pocket. But this guy's an entirely different
totally
animal
different.
Than Russell Wilson. Yeah, Russell Wilson can at least go in the, you know, put his foot down and he's calm. And it's not as wild as it is when you watch Johnny Manziel.
So, Pete, you've got all three quarterbacks in your second mock draft. When we get to the end of this thing in May, would it surprise you at all if quarterback didn't go until pick six? I mean, would it surprise you if we got through the first five picks of this draft starting on May 8th and there wasn't a quarterback taken in the first five?
Well, let's put it this way. If Houston passes and Jacksonville passes, then Cleveland will probably take, I would think they would take one. I mean, their roster is pretty talented and they don't have anything. So I you know, new GM, he wants to get this is his chance to get his quarterback. So I think they might take one unless they get out of there. But the Rams aren't going to take one, and Atlanta's clearly not going to take one at six if they swap up with St. Louis. So, yeah, no, it wouldn't shock me. But I'll tell you this, you also hear things like, you know, at the combine, I heard the Raiders love Derek Carr, love him. But they wouldn't. It probably wouldn't take him where they're at, but they might move back and take him down the road a little bit and get some extra picks if they can.
Well, Daniel Jeremiah, I know you know him from Twitter, is reporting for NFL Network that the Browns would rather have Carr than Manziel.
Yeah, and
so I mean, you're starting.
Too. I'll be honest with you, I would too. I just don't want my quarterback playing that way. I just don't. I don't like that style of quarterback. I mean, and I said this to somebody the other day. Could you imagine 20 years? Okay, not even 20 years ago, Jeff, when you were playing. If I would have come to you and I said a 5'11" quarterback would win the Super Bowl, and then the 5'11" quarterback has a chance to go number one overall, you would have told me I was crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's possible. It's possible.
But you know, Pete, if you were if you had to scout off of television alone, you might pick Johnny that high because you don't get to see the field in order to see what he's trying to figure out. But if you're drafting off of coach's film, which that's what the scouts do, Johnny Manziel is fall. He's going to fall, and he's going to fall
all right.
In a big way.
We've got it. We get news at the bottom of the hour. Pete, will you stick with us and talk free agency?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, you got a list
absolutely.
Of those out. CBSSports.com, folks, for all the latest from Pete Prisco. And right here on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690 for those of us from Jaguars Central. News is next.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. More of Jaguars Thursday. Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, Pete Prisco from CBSSports.com. We'll flip it now. In the last segment, we were talking about his mock draft and about the college process. Now it's on to free agency. And I guess the first question, Pete, is the cap jumped up, what, 9%? Maybe 10% by the time they finally get it all adjusted. Does that kill free agency for a lot of teams? Because all of a sudden, now teams that were up against the cap have room?
Well, I think they're going to try and re-sign you. If you like a guy, and you saw that with the Eagles today, you go re-sign him and get him back into the fold. And the Eagles went and got Riley Cooper. They extended the center, Kelsey, and all four of their five offensive linemen, I think, are signed through the next 3 years after they did Peters last week. So I think with a little more room, teams can get creative keeping their own guys. And you know, let's be frank about it. If you can keep your own guys and they're good football players, that's the best-case scenario for any team.
Yeah, and I guess the reports are initially that came out, it could go up to $132 million, and now there's a report out there that it could even be higher than that.
$135.
You know, so that's a lot of money to spend. But, you know, the free agency and the amount of money that these teams have been spending over the last couple of years, I mean, I don't think there's very many teams that are up against the cap, Pete. And the one that kind of intrigues me is Alex Mack. Have you heard anything out of Cleveland to where they're trying or having conversations with him? Because he is the marquee center, and that's a huge need for the Jaguars.
Yeah, they want this, you know, now that they had some bad, you know, blood between the last regime and Alex Mack, and it was talked that they weren't going to bring him back and he was going to leave. But now you hear that, you know, Ray Farmer taking over, they want to do everything they can to keep Alex Mack. You also hear that Alex Mack, who's from California, would like to work his way back that way some. But when you look at the teams out west, you know, Seattle has Unger, so he's not going to go there. San Francisco, though, Jonathan Goodwin is an unrestricted free agent. But for the life of me, I couldn't imagine San Francisco putting that kind of money into that position when you consider they have big money in Staley, they have big money in the left guard, Itati, they have big money in Davis, the right guard, the right tackle. So I can't imagine they would do that. But you hear he wants to work his way back west, and, you know, he plays football in California.
See, I would think if you're him and you're that guy and they don't franchise you, and they won't because there's no center franchise tag, you'd want to test free agency, wouldn't you?
Pete, you need to have a conversation with him and tell him, hey, look, you take the money and you can travel all you want to the West Coast, right?
That's what, you know, and plus there's no state income tax in the state of Florida.
I mean,
I do think he would be a hot target for Jacksonville. I do. I think he, you know, let's face it, the middle of their line stinks. I mean, it's just not very good. They need to get better in the middle of the line, and that's going to be a priority. And he would be, you know, a marquee guy to come in there, and you'd have the good left tackle, the young left tackle. You'd have good young center. You'd have a lot of people think can develop into a solid right tackle. Just got to find the guards next to him.
All right, well, the other big need for this football team is defensive linemen, and I'm looking at the list now. Greg Hardy obviously tops the list. Brian Arakpo is a possibility in Washington if nothing gets done. Michael Johnson in Cincinnati. What do you think this team does with some of those guys? And then obviously the conversations coming out of Dallas now about DeMarcus Ware possibly being a cap casualty.
Yeah, and I think when push comes to shove, they're going to find a way to keep Ware. I mean, I know he's 31, and he didn't play as well last year. He was banged up a little bit. He made the transition to go put his hand. But I mean, he let those guys go. What do you got to replace them? They're pass rushers. You know, they're hard to find. You know that, Jeff. But you look at this pass rush class, like, more and more I keep hearing that Carolina is not going to tag Greg Hardy, that they're going to let him go. And then you hear from teams that there's concern about him as a guy. I know Greg Hardy a little bit. I like him, but I could see where people would think he's a little bit different, a little bit odd, and might want to put that money into him. But he's number one. I think Michael Johnson, I talked to somebody at the Bengals last week who said they think they're going to try and bring him back, but they have money in Atkins. They signed him last year. They have money in Dunlap. They signed him. It'd be awful tough to bring him back. But again, this guy had 4 sacks last year. He played really well. I was talking to the people at the Bengals. They were really pleased with the way he played. Played the run really well. Another guy who, in certain situations, they said if he fell into 3 or 4 more sacks, his numbers would be better because he had the pressure, much like you were talking about with Clowney. But again, what's the money? And, you know, how big do you spend on a guy? Is he an elite guy? And then I'll give you another one, Jeff. Michael Bennett.
Yeah.
You know, is Michael Bennett a number one? Because if you're getting Michael Bennett, you're paying him like a number one. And that, to me, is a great concern. So I think if you're looking for a pass rusher, go down the board a little bit and try and find a younger or, you know, a guy who might not have peaked yet. And maybe that's where you try and get a chance. You don't give him a big money deal, but maybe you get, you know, a body who can come in your rotation and attack the quarterback. And, you know, a guy like Willie Young. Now, Willie Young's 29, so he's not a kid, but and he doesn't put up great sack numbers, but Willie Young's a pretty good pass rusher. Or maybe you get into the Jason Worlds thing. I know he played a different position, but you could use him in a variety of ways there as well. So I don't think big money pass rusher is on their docket, although you never know. If the price comes down on some of those guys, they could jump right in at the end.
What could you see Greg Hardy's contract being?
Huge. Mario Williams. I mean, and he's not Mario Williams.
$100 million deal?
Yeah, and is that worth it? I mean, you have to ask yourself, is that worth it? Is he that guy? You come to the line of scrimmage like Dwight Freeney used to be, or, you know, the elite pass rushers, and identify him and say, block him. And to me, I think he's really good. He plays the run really well. He plays hard. He's a good. He's only 25 years old. He went to college as a 16-year-old kid, so he's a young kid. So, but again, is he worth $100 million?
And he played alongside some pretty good players there in Carolina. I mean, that defensive line's pretty good.
Yeah, and you know, he didn't scratch in the playoff game. Didn't scratch. I mean, they did a great job on him, but he didn't scratch. Nothing. Zero. Zippo. Got shut out. That's concerning to me. I mean, he's matched against some good tackles, but that's concerning.
All right, so if you're David Caldwell, the general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Pete, okay, and you've got reportedly, what, $55 million to spend in free agency.
That's fair.
Who do you target? Give me two guys and tell me why.
I wouldn't target many of the big-name guys, I'll be honest with you. I'm not enamored enough with them, and they all have a little bit of a concern for me. And the reason being, I don't want to spend the huge money on guys they have questions about. You know, we talk about the corner class, and the Jacksonville's not the market for the corner class, but I'm going to give you an example. Everybody I talked to at the combine, I said, you know, what do you think about this corner group? And all the GMs and scouts, they said, they're there for a reason. How often do you see all these corners on the market? You know, they're on there for a reason. Berner's short. Davis has some issues. Grimes had coming off the Achilles. Sam Shields is little. You know, so they're all of concerns. But so I look at the free agent class. I move down the list a little bit, and look for backup guards. It's a good guard or starting guards who can bring in guards and centers, those kind of guys. like Saffold at St. Louis. I mean, he was a tackle and moved the guard. Had a great year last year as a guard when they moved him inside. Those kind of people, those are the kind of players I think that they'll make a move on.
But Alex Mack has no questions. I mean,
if there's
one guy that's clean and gets that's the free agency, he's clean.
He's clean. He's the one. He's clean. Except he wants to go, he supposedly wants to go back near California. So, but yeah, he's clean. So, I mean, get Mack if you could. Get a couple, lower level, not expensive, overly expensive guards. And then, maybe a linebacker who can run. Let's face it, they need speed at linebacker. The problem with that is a lot of the linebackers are older. Those kind of guys don't run very well. So I'd look for a younger linebacker. Maybe a guy, I'll give you one. He's not a great player, but he was good on special teams. Sylvester, who played for the Steelers. Started two games, didn't start much of his career there, but he's 26 years old. Might be ready to step up and play. Probably get him cheap.
All right. Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com. What's keeping you busy? You can take a little vacation before this draft?
Hell no. Free agency draft, the whole deal, man. It's crazy. It's nonstop. But you know what? We wouldn't have it any other way, would we?
No. And his next...
who would you guys sign?
Mac.
I said last week, if I was given a choice between a Greg Hardy and an Alex Mack, I would take an Alex Mack just because, offensive linemen have proven to be durable. They're more consistent. Buscelli said Greg Hardy. He's watched a lot of Greg Hardy. He's covered the Carolina Panthers for quite some time and thinks that the guy's a fantastic player. But I just like Alex Mack. Especially when you have so much to build on offense and you're going to be rebuilding an offensive line, why not go ahead and have an absolute pillar right in the middle? And you're going to be adding a young quarterback at some point. What better guy to have than an Alex Mack? He's got
many years left. But you could say this, too. You could say, how much better is Alex Mack than maybe paying like an Evan Dietrich Smith or somebody like that? You know what I mean? And then getting two cheaper guards and then paying a guy like Hardy and drafting a guy like Mack, and all of a sudden you look at your defense and you go, wow, there's Khalil Mack and Greg Hardy on the same defense. All of a sudden the issue that's been, pestering this team for decades is gone because you have two premium pass rushers.
Is that kid out of Buffalo all that, I guess you could say, everybody's raving about?
Mike Mayock said he'd take him first overall.
Mike Mayock comes out and says he'd take him first overall. Everybody's raving about him, and all of a sudden he's creeping up everybody's mock draft boards based on the heels of exactly what Mayock talked about. Pete, are you hearing that that's the case from scouts?
Yes. And by the way, he is a Florida kid, so that's always good. You know how he came from good praise from South Florida. But the other thing is, this is going to date us, but we'll all know this reference, but a lot of young people won't. I asked a lot of personnel people about him at the combine specifically. And, I've heard bigger James Harrison, but this is what I hear from more people. Ricky Jackson. Oh. And a lot of people don't remember Ricky Jackson.
I do.
Younger group. My God, Ricky Jackson was a beast for the New Orleans Saints. If they could get a Ricky Jackson, are you kidding me? And that's the comparison you hear.
Ricky Jackson had the greatest inside arm power move of any pass rusher that I watched before me and during my era. He's a fantastic player. But the thing that I have concerns about, and I'm looking forward to watching some film on this guy, he played at Buffalo.
He was really, really, really good against Ohio State. He was really average against Baylor. I watched the bowl game, and I thought he took it off, and I said something to him, and he kind of smirked about it when I said something to him at the combine. So, look, you're playing a bowl game that means nothing. You're trying to save your millions. So I get it, but there are games where he just looks flat-out dominant, fast, athletic, strong, powerful. He's the real deal.
That's got to be the hardest thing if you're a scout. You're trying to grade a guy who played at Buffalo, versus, grading a guy that played at Auburn or Alabama in an SEC school.
Where you have a baseline, where you know.
Yeah. That's tough to do.
Those guys bust too, though. We had how many are the can't miss pass rushers? We talk about Clowney. How many of the can't miss pass rushers from the SEC that we thought were going to be just mega 15, 18 sack guys?
Oh, like Derek Harvey?
Andre Bruce. Yeah, Derek Harvey, Andre Bruce. How about that one? Remember that one? Oh, can't miss. Going to be great. Keith McCants. Can't miss. Going to be. Well, they all busted. You never know. It doesn't. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with what's inside a guy.
Hey, one last quick thought, since you know a lot about the Saints. Does the center from the Saints intrigue you at all? Does Brian De La Puente offer anything?
It's got to be the right system. You know, that New Orleans system where they play, you know, up-tempo. And, yeah, I mean, he's okay. He's smart, and he can fit in that kind of system. I'm not sure he fits in every system.
All right. Pete, thanks so much for your time.
All right, guys.
Appreciate
good
you.
Good talking to you.
Good talking to you. There's Pete. Follow him, folks. Right. You can find him on Twitter, all the usual places. And we appreciate him taking some time this evening to give some insights on both college and free agency in the pros, which opens here a week from Tuesday. Take a break, come back, and wrap this show up on a Thursday night, live from the HannityAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. This is Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HannityAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, let's wrap this one up. A little more than 4 minutes left in the show. Thanks again, Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com. Mac is his pick in the mock draft that he put out today. And we should mention, by the way, you know, when a guy like Pete Prisco puts his mock draft up, all of a sudden you start seeing a pop-up on a lot of different sites. And Daniel Jeremiah, former scout who writes for NFL Network, has the Jaguars taking Khalil Mack as well. So it appears that the dirt on this kid is that he is a terrific football player and belongs in the top five, and Mike Mayock pretty much said that.
Well, and I trust Mike Mayock. I mean, if there was ever anybody that when they speak, I listen, it's Mike Mayock. I think he's the best in the business, bar none, because for one, he formulates his own opinion. He does work extremely hard watching these guys, and he has a lot of really great relationships with a lot of general managers and personnel people around the league, which very few people have, because Mike Mayock gets the respect back. Because, you know, Mike works all season long doing the NFL Network stuff, and I think that allows him to build relationships that gets him information that other people may not get. The other guy, though, that I would throw out there that I would not be surprised one bit if the Jaguars are seriously considered, and that's Sammy Watkins, a wide receiver from Clemson. You know, because I'm kind of reading between the lines of what David Caldwell had said at the Combine, and he's talking, you know, everybody's asking him about the quarterbacks, and he's saying, look, you know, we need to build our football team. And he kind of read between the lines, because he was talking about it doesn't matter who's playing quarterback, whether it's Chad Henne or whoever, we need to get better for that quarterback.
Well, and Gus said as much to you and I in one of the final coaches shows, where he said, look, if you don't have the guy, if he's not there, then you build a whale of a defense and you work on your running game, and then you work to build around whoever you've got until the guy shows up. Well, that's what they did in Seattle. They built that defense. Obviously, they traded for Marshawn Lynch when Pete Carroll got there, and they built that up. And then they spent the money on Matt Flynn because they didn't think Russell Wilson was the guy. And then it turned out the guy was there.
Yeah, my first thought is who they're going to – Clowney, if he's there.
I just don't see how you pass on a talent like that. You can't.
A guy, you know, like Khalil Mack. I believe defense is going to be the way that they go. I hope, though, that they can trade back a little bit and garner more picks.
Wouldn't you say it's safe – to spend the money in free agency on the offensive line and the draft picks on the defensive line? I mean, you got to look for quarterback, don't get me wrong, and you got to find some guys, some young guys. But if you're going to go out swinging with Mr. Khan's checkbook when that program opens there a week from Tuesday, I would think the offensive line would be the best place to spend the money.
Yeah, in free agency, no doubt. I mean, look, you can go and look at free agents on the offensive line and know whether somebody can play or not.
Right.
I mean, that's not hard to figure out. In the college, you know, getting these guys coming out of college, there might be a developmental period that's required for some of them.
Well, and I remember at the Senior Bowl, the way that they talked about all those pass rushers, those guys, the guy from Georgia Tech, you know, the Leo position's a guy you can grow and develop a little bit. You don't have to necessarily go and take the guy at the top of the draft.
You know, and it's interesting, you know, the whole Leo conversation, you know, with Gus, and then you watch what Seattle did. They never really played in the Super Bowl with a true Leo look. You know, that true where it's a stand-up outside pass rusher. They were going four down the whole way. So I don't want people to get overly consumed with that term Leo when it comes to the draft.
Well, just that Gus has talked about that position being a guy you can find. You know, you can
evolve. If you can find it, then you can have this Leo do all these amazing things. But if not, you can play four down.
Right. Jeff, thanks so much. Have a great night.
Enjoyed it.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy it once it starts to warm up again. Thanks to Joe and John. Have a great night, everybody.